Recording in progress.
It's 6:30. I'd like to call the October 16th meeting of the Candia Planning Board to order. Please rise and pledge allegiance to the flag.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Volleyball.
Okay.
Let's see. Judy.
Here.
Mark.
Here.
Tim is here. Brian.
Here.
Scott.
Here.
Kevin.
Here.
And Linda.
Here.
Linda, please take Rudy's spot.
Or Scott.
Or Scott. Yeah, either one.
No,
Scott's here. Scott's here. Well, you can sit in either chair.
That's what Scott is referring to.
Okay, we are just a agenda change note. We're going to do some old business first. We have some Mylar plans for Tom Severino. I don't know if we, well, just to read it into the record, the Mylars were mislabeled in terms of lot number. The original lot was labeled 141-1, and the newly created lot was labeled 141, and those were reversed from what they should be. So it didn't match the tax map. So it's just a procedural thing that we need to sign the new Mylars. I don't think we need to vote on it, right? Because it's all been done, so let's just sign the Mylars and let Mr. Severino on his way.
There's two of them, one on each sheet.
Yep.
Time and date.
Yeah, make sure you keep.
What do you want? Today's date? Or
today's date.
Yeah.
How many people?
At least four.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I know, that's for you. We'll talk about that.
Okay.
Ink last time.
Yes.
They're so fussy over there.
And my dog.
One little smudge and they reject it.
Okay, so we got
so I thought he 10. And his wife might like that.
As a lefty, I'm better off not signing those because
I don't need any. I don't need any rejections.
Right. So I'll pass.
I think he just called
me.
He's
going to get one lefty.
No, I didn't.
You're lefty?
Really? So up there, the next one.
You can do both, yeah.
I wouldn't want to try left, but...
No, you wouldn't recognize what I was writing.
I know. It's kind of like when you sign documents online.
You were doing this.
I know.
End of the meeting. You were on this, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, I think I brought it up.
That's your letter of request.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, don't you hate those tables and chairs?
I do.
I do.
At least you didn't hit your knee. Anyway, while you're waiting for them to sign, so that's for you. That was from the walk with Ruben.
Oh, yeah.
And then I was at the pictures,
there you go,
and the lady was real happy because she went to the charter of the...
Oh, I can't do it.
And she said there were candy people,
sorry,
too, and then I looked, and there's you and Dottie.
Yeah.
So you probably have
it. We have that, yeah. That's from the thing, yeah.
Yeah, so I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool that we started. We got, like, 20 members.
Yeah.
Kevin, we're the only ones that are
14 of us are, you know,
thank you very much.
Yeah, but does a lot of good stuff.
Good. That's excellent.
Because everything we do philanthropically is for Auburn Canyon.
Yeah.
So
I'm just going to let these dry here for a bit. I'm going to stay
for
Jim.
We'll let you sneak back up and grab them.
Thank you, though.
Yep, no problem. Okay, so that little bit of procedural housekeeping is now complete. Let's move on to the full agenda, the new business informational hearing, potential minor subdivision, applicant/owner Nathan Durand, 444 Brown Road, Candia, New Hampshire. Property location is also 440 Brown Road. Map 414, lot 26. Hey, guys.
How are we doing?
Good.
Excellent. So we're kind of just at the very beginning stages, which is why we, you know, wanted to sit with you folks first and kind of maybe throw out some of our options and run through, kind of get a pulse check on that. So my original idea, or our original idea, is for minor subdivision and shared driveway. I thought that might be, basically the property has 11 acres on it. Now I'm sure that some of that is in current use, so we kind of want to look at our option there and then see what would happen with shared driveway and being able to split the lot.
And then you don't have enough road frontage.
Yes, exactly. So I believe there's 229 feet of road frontage there. And so we're looking at the option of potentially a minor subdivision or a second ADU, as we do have an ADU on the property already. And yeah, more or less kind of wanted to throw it out there and see what our next steps might be, or, you know, what we're looking to do.
Sure.
And that's for me to move here and build a small, very small, maybe a two-bedroom, that's it. Okay. Me and the grandkids.
Yeah.
That's the purpose of it.
Well, first of all, the second ADU you can't do right now.
Okay.
It's limited to one. We are working on some proposed zoning changes that might change that in the future. It's also a state law that might change that in the beginning of the legislative session. There was a bill requiring that towns allow two ADUs that at the last minute they didn't have enough time to, the Senate was to the Senate floor and they tabled it. So that may come back, but at this point, that's not really an option.
Yeah, I noticed it was on the agenda for last time you guys met, I believe, actually.
Right.
Yeah. And that, no matter what we do, that's still going to be voted on by the townspeople, so, mm-hmm. you know.
Okay. Is there an allowance for a special exception on that? Or
not for a second
exemption,
one.
Rather, excuse me.
No, not for a second one, no.
Gotcha.
You know, the only well, doing an ADU is a special exception.
Mm-hmm.
Process, you know, and you're limited to 750 square feet. There is a special exception on top of that for needs if someone's handicapped or something like that needs extra.
Understood. All right. So the second ADU is probably out then.
At this point in time.
Sure.
Yeah, it wouldn't happen until possibly after March.
Yeah.
I see.
And that's not something the ZBA could provide, right?
No.
Okay.
No.
Yeah.
Just verifying.
So like I said, that puts us into that minor subdivision category and like split driveway. I guess what would our next steps sort of be, or I guess what would we have to bring to the table?
Correct me if I'm wrong, folks, but that's got to be a road. Right?
A second driveway?
Well, if it's one driveway.
No, a shared driveway. And I thought we did one for Brown Road. Up the road.
we've done shared driveways before, but I don't remember what the criteria
They're not going to be over 1,000 feet.
No. Correct. Right. And yeah, I believe in 2021 there was actually almost an identical situation on Brown Road.
Just up the road by the Red Barn.
Yeah.
Yes. That's
yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's correct. Exactly.
And I can't remember what their frontage. If there was a frontage, I think it was wetlands. That was the issue. They had the frontage, but it was wetlands.
Yep.
And that's why they had the shared driveway, mm-hmm. so they wouldn't have to cross the wetlands.
Oh, I see. But they had more front.
They had enough frontage.
I see.
Just said it would have been a bigger issue to go through the wetlands
mm-hmm.
for another driveway.
Sure.
ZBA thing.
The best thing to do is to go to the building department and put in the application, and Bob can probably give them more insight on
right.
if it's even possible.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so this is an application for a building permit?
Pardon? No, to go see the land use. I'm sorry.
Oh, land use. Okay.
Yeah, that would be Annie.
Okay.
And fill out an application of what you're trying to do, and they could give you more information on if it's even possible.
Okay.
And I know the guy two doors up the street from me that bought Stubby's land and has a bunch of property in back got permission for a second driveway.
Second driveway you can have.
Okay.
Yeah.
Second driveway you can have already.
Okay.
If you have the frontage, correct?
If well, yep. They have 200 feet of frontage, right?
To something.
Yeah, but we would need yeah. 400, wouldn't we?
Right.
Yeah, for two houses.
Gotcha.
Okay. Yeah. So mm-hmm. we would need a variance.
Yeah, but you are allowed to have a second driveway.
If you have 400 feet
400.
Or if you have 200 feet?
No. 200 feet. For your house,
okay.
you're allowed already
okay,
to have two driveways.
Because technically a U driveway is two driveways,
okay.
right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Right.
But that's what I would do, right?
Right. And you don't. I don't think there's any wetlands issue right there either.
No. So there is a there's a pond on the property.
Yes.
Of which we would, if we did again some sort of shared driveway or a secondary driveway, would basically more than likely go around it or continue on the same path and sort of and get around it. But yeah, that's the only.
Is that
area.
The pond? It's on the left as you come up your driveway?
It's actually on the right hand side.
On the right side?
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
It's been a while since I've been over.
I was going to say, you must have been familiar with the houses.
Yes.
Yes, yeah, correct. So as you're coming up there, basically the house is up here on your left, and then there's a pond right here. But where the property is nestled is on the left-hand side of that acreage. So there's plenty of room, again, around that side. And then, you know, we would certainly have to go more in depth with surveying and geological studies and all that to figure out where the best location might be. But again, we're really just scratching the surface.
It's going to be a little complicated too, because that lot you'd be splitting off would not have frontage. So you'd have to be dealing with the right of way.
Either that, or we could do a little sliver of land down at the road. Mm-hmm. But that's for you guys to decide. It could be the right of way, landlocked.
So we'd be creating a non-compliant lot, right? Is that
we would? Yeah, we can't do that.
Right, either way, though, wouldn't it be non-compliant?
No, even if it's a second lot, we can't. We don't have the power and the authority to create a non-conforming lot. Non-conforming being, you don't have the frontage.
Okay.
So it's a non-conforming lot.
Gotcha. Yeah, and again, that's kind of where the shared driveway comes into play.
But I don't have the answers on whether. That's allowed.
Right, right.
Yeah, your problem would be that the possible only way to get around this, and we can do some digging and take a look, but possible only way to get around it is to create the shared portion of it as a road, spec'd road. Now you've got a road with a lot that has frontage to the road.
I know what you mean. In that case, it would have to be class 6. It would have to be
It would be a 5-5.
Okay.
So that... That's, you know,
how far back are you?
So the house, it's a decent one. It's probably 500 feet, maybe something like that. Maybe
I was thinking,
tell me what's the cost on that?
$500 a foot.
The split would probably be what,
100,000.
Yeah.
That's the thing in terms of that private road.
Yeah.
Right. That would only have to go as far as giving you 200 feet of frontage for the new lot.
Okay, so we have to go off the side lot and come across.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, you convert your driveway that's right there now into a road.
Okay.
To create
with a like a cul-de-sac at the end, but now you've created frontage because now it's a road.
I see.
But it's got to be 200 feet long.
What's that?
The road that you create
doesn't have to be. A certain distance, but
it's going to give them 200 feet of frontage on the new piece of land.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So this is not a cheap option.
Depends where it goes in, Kevin.
Right, but if the frontage is 229, right, and the original lot has to keep 200, they could start off with 29 feet of frontage and then make a road that's...
Well, it depends how the road goes in. If it comes in and it's like 50-50 on the division between the two lots... You got the cul-de-sac, you know, there's your frontage.
Yeah.
You know, comes around.
Each lot just needs 200 feet of frontage on a road.
Okay.
On a road.
Right.
Would it be helpful to see a layout of the lot? I have the drawings from when we did the ADU, kind of showing the driveway and a bit of the lot. I don't know.
Yeah. We can look at it.
I don't know if that'd help you at all, just kind of to visualize.
So the ADU that you have is attached, right?
Yes, it's above the garage.
So if... the warrant article passes and we are allowed a second by exception that can be detached with a maximum size of 850 square feet, 2-bedroom, right?
Mm-hmm.
That would alleviate this whole problem.
Exactly.
If they can wait.
Right.
Assuming it passes.
Yeah.
But it also has to be so many feet, so many...
Within 100 feet of the house.
100 feet of the house.
Right, yeah. Is this something you think that'll be going before the town in March?
Yes.
What about the state?
We've got it all set to go to the town council and approve it, and then it'll be on the ballot in March.
Would that be an adequate square footage?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just my wife and I.
But when would that take effect?
Yeah, one bedroom would work.
That seems like it'd be the cheap, the most economical way out.
Right.
If time's on your side.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and maybe in between those times, we could also see what our other options were.
Absolutely, that's what I think.
Because I know what you mean. Like a class 5 road would be, you know, do that whole thing down.
100, yeah.
Yeah, we're talking. Yeah, right. Right. Just for that.
Just to bring in Phil and Stone. And,
It's a width, right? And then
Well, there's a lot of it. It's upgrade and everything.
Okay, I understand.
I think we're running with an average of 500 feet, $500 a foot.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Okay.
That about right, Tom?
Yeah, I mean,
maybe a little low.
Landing way was 750 foot. Mm-hmm. The build landing way. So it's 500 be the cheapest it would ever be.
Okay.
But yeah, there's no way around what they have to do. They only have 229 feet frontage. So they basically have to build a stub of a road.
Right.
And there has to be a cul-de-sac.
Correct.
So it takes 250 feet to get around the cul-de-sac. So you could build a little 50, 60 foot length of road and a 250 foot cul-de-sac.
But
the minimum you're building is 300 feet of road at
That cul-de-sac helps with frontage.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So
because it's so big.
Right. So that's what you're going to do to get it. Then on that cul-de-sac, because you don't have enough to break off 200 feet plus a 60-foot right-of-way.
Right.
So you just put the road right where you want it. When you create that cul-de-sac, on a cul-de-sac, you only have to have 100 feet of frontage for the first section. So then each lot would gain its frontage, and you'd split that into two lots.
Yeah.
But it's just not economically feasible for them for what they're trying to do. To me, I would wait and
wait till March and get out there and campaign.
Get out there.
Yeah, right.
Hold signs.
Come March, get out there in front of the polls.
And some people might vote against, but most of the people I've spoken to think it makes sense.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's certainly a housing shortage, right, and all the rest of it. So I would imagine that'd be relatively popular right now. But
with some.
With a good point.
Yeah,
good point.
Okay, that sounds good.
Like I said, we'll tell you what article number it is, and you can start writing your signs now. Vote for
exactly. Go on the Candia Facebook page. See Excellent.
All right.
Well, thank you for your time.
Yeah,
thank you.
Appreciate it.
And the whole idea between the Warren article is for cases just like this.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah,
keep
your
family together.
You can at least see what we're trying to do. Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Wonderful.
Thank you all.
You're welcome.
Have a good day, guys. Or night, whatever.
Yes.
Keep doing that.
I know.
All right, next up on the agenda, informational hearing, major site plan, applicant owner Bob and Claudia Carr, 17 Vassar Street, Manchester, New Hampshire, property 669 High Street, Candia, New Hampshire, map 405, lot 48.
Well, hello
good evening,
again.
Bob. Hi, guys.
Bob Carr for 669 High Street. I delivered via Amy, I get an excerpt a preliminary idea of what we're contemplating. I'm assuming everybody got a chance to read.
I did not see that.
It's on the back side of the
information. Back side of the agenda?
The information.
Yep. Good idea.
You don't have that either?
Oh,
cool.
No, I got it. I got it, I'm sure. I just haven't got there yet.
Right here.
Nope.
Just take it.
What'd she do?
She dissed me hard.
No, she knew I'd support you.
Yeah, you know, you're here for me, man. Yeah, I don't, unless it's in this paper clip thing.
Sadly, I have one copy here.
No, I don't. Yep, I'm
Mark
all good.
Actually.
Yeah. Okay. all right, so 17 back.
Scott, do you have this?
I do not.
Hang on a second.
Got it. Thanks, Kevin.
You're welcome.
Okay, everybody had a chance to read it?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so just for the record, right, earlier this year, I can't remember the date, but Mr. Carr got approval for three duplexes on the property to be rental units. He's now stating that the economics of that have changed, and he wants to change those from rental units to condominiums. And that wants to add a barn out back as one of the units. Our intention would be to include the barn out back as one of the units, even though it's not a dwelling unit, have a designated storage unit or something to that effect. So it can be individually owned much the same as the dwelling units. So the ownership of the barn would be different than the people in the condominium units.
Yes. It would actually be the same. So you'd have ownership of, I'd have ownership of the barn, just as if I'd have ownership of one of the six units.
So you're not changing the status of the barn, really?
No.
That's staying the same.
Yep.
It's still going to be
the same. It's just a barn.
Right.
And
fall under the umbrella of the condominium association.
Right? Yes,
that's
so,
correct. Yeah, right. Yeah.
So the condominium association is going to own the entire property, or
they'll own all the land that surrounds all the property. There'll be some what they call limited common area where, you know, people get to use that piece of property for themselves, whether it's their walkway or a piece of their backyard, septic systems and things like that, or roadways. Those are all common areas.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that there's, I can't remember, 90 acres.
What's that?
The
88, 90
acres is the total piece of property?
Yes, correct. Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So of that 90 acres, what's the property the condo association is going to own?
All of it.
They're going to own all 90?
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. I mean, you know, first off, obviously, that's a whole new application, right?
Yeah, no, I get that. And a big part of it is now you got to survey, you know, the entire lot, which is going to take some time because it's
correct.
Like swampland back there.
Yeah, now the whole lot is involved, and where you didn't have to do the survey for the whole lot or the
right.
the wetlands and all that would have to be done for the entire lot.
Right. Yeah. So I've gone over this with the engineer and with our attorney to see what's involved with, you know, the declaration and the bylaws. So it seems to me what they're telling me is pretty straightforward, but I mean, you guys all know this property intimately. We've been here for, you know, quite a bit of time. And so we finally got it to, you know, where we want it. We're ready to get going, but I'd like to start in on it while this was taking place, but I just want to make sure that it is what it is, and that, you know, it's an application, like you say. But if the bylaws and the declaration are, you know, are approved and they're done properly, and they, you know, get vetted by your attorney, that it's good to go. I mean, the site plan, the survey is all stamped by a surveyor and an engineer, so that's pretty standard. I wouldn't think we need to have oversight of Stantec in this situation. It's just more of the attorneys doing their thing and making sure that the bylaws are there to protect both the town and, you know, the new owners. But I just want to make sure that I'm not missing anything. I realize that it's a whole new application, but I just before I started in and started, you know, investing money into the project, I just want to make sure that it is what it is, and that, you know, you know, they let you all know what my plan is. So just kind of, you know,
it's a pretty big curveball. It's a pretty big curveball compared to what we had before, right? So the duplexes was kind of out of the ordinary. Like, I'm new to this, so I'm kind of learning some things. condos are a whole different thing that has to get state approval, right?
Yeah.
And why would you, you already had separation of your land into two pieces that you were going to not have to survey part of it, right? Was the back half going to be part of the duplex or was that being kept separately?
No, it's always been part because you can't subdivide it because there is no frontage to subdivide it.
So there's no reason not to include it in the condo thing. How many condos are there in town?
Not many.
Technically...
I think our regulations only allow condominium ownership under the 55-plus ordinance, the innovative land use.
I don't know the answer to that question.
Okay.
You would know better than any of us, Scott.
Yeah, no, that's the only... You know, I was just pulling up the regs, you know, but I think our regulations will allow for condominium ownership other than four, unless it was 55 plus.
Well, I don't want to dispute that, but when I did bring this up to my attorney, he says it's state law says everything that, you know, I'm contemplating here is allowed under state law. Which one trumps which, I don't know. But
it depends on how the state law is written. The state law is written that it's possible, then the town law would trump it if it says you can't, right?
Yeah,
but if the state law says the town must.
The appeals board.
Right.
But in any event, it is a new application, so there's not really much. We can't give them a go-ahead.
No, we'd have to go through the
process.
Right, and you know...
You're trying to get going, but I don't think there's any way you can start your project and you're changing the titles of it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and especially since we don't know, you know, we can't tell you that the access to it wouldn't change because right now it's just a driveway, right?
Right, because they're going to be rental units owned by the person that's living there.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're talking condos, so and Scott's right. I think that under the condo, it's 55 plus.
I don't think there's no other condominiums in town other than up on High Street that have been built.
We'll take that away as something to look at. You're probably right, Scott. You've spent more time in that part of the regulation than any of us.
But the fact that there's so few in town, what does that mean?
Well, even with the regulations, I mean, to get a waiver from that, he'd have to go to the ZBA anyway.
Right.
We can't grant that kind of waiver.
Well, any
what waiver would I be looking
for? No, I'm just saying, even if you could, we couldn't even do it.
It's not a planning board thing.
The condominium is not a planning board thing.
Right. Any multifamily housing is not a planning board thing. It's a special exception. So you're back to the ZBA. You know, any multifamily housing is a special exception.
Right.
And by the ordinance, the ZBA does the special exceptions.
Right.
So that's...
Right.
And that may be something to go to one of their meetings and ask that question.
Right.
Yeah, maybe start out with an informational there.
Yeah. But that's where I would go. Because, again, they would know that better than us. And I'll take a look at it for my own.
Because right now, he's going to approve plan to build... You're not changing any footprint or anything.
No.
It's the same thing. So you have a plan that you're
the heading of it
to build. So to me, he's going to go to the ZBA and discuss it with them.
Right.
So RSA Chapter 356-B is the Condominium Act in New Hampshire. And there's all kinds of stuff there under the General Court of New Hampshire website. So this will take a little bit of studying that I can't do on my phone.
Yeah, you can. It's hard to see it.
Yeah, and so I would have the conversation with the ZBA before you, you know, start like spending the money on surveying the entire property and getting all the geological stuff on,
right?
Because you may be wasting money at this point in time, right?
Right. But so none of the approval process for a condominium goes through the planning board here.
Well, then it would come back here for the site plan review.
Site plan again.
Yeah, okay. Come back here for the site plan.
But I need to go through the ZBA because it needs to be a special exception.
Just like you did for the duplexes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any relief from any regulation, you have to go to the ZBA.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Okay. So yeah, you know, and you know, the good news is you did a lot of the work already, right? And we've already said we agree with it as duplexes. We would just have to go back and make sure. First of all, make sure you got all the stuff on the entire lot because that's what's going to be part of it now, and we'd have to, you know, review based on it being condos and multiple owners, you know, does the driveway and the retention pond and the so on and so forth still work, right?
Right.
So, but again, you've got most of that, you know, that work's done, but there might have to be some changes, and I'm just saying, I'm not sitting here thinking there's anything, but, you know, just a full fair warning, right?
Right.
So, okay. Jot this down. The first blush, I would go to 356-B:5 municipal ordinances. At least that's where I would start.
What was that again?
356-B:5. The lead sentence, no zoning or other land use ordinance shall prohibit condominiums as such by reason of the form of ownership inherent therein. So neither shall any condominium be treated differently by any zoning or other land use ordinance which would permit a physically identical project or under a different form of ownership. So that's a state's RSA. I don't see that in our ordinances here. So it will be a point of interest as we peel the onion on that.
Yes, it will.
Okay. All right, we'll take it from there.
Okay.
Thank you for your time.
And if you want to have another conversation, come on back.
Yeah, but yeah. Okay.
We hope we helped you, pointed you a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, that'd be good. Okay.
I'd have a conversation with them.
Yeah, see what they say. I'll do that. Be my next thought. Okay. All right.
Thank you. Bob.
Yeah, because that's something we can't grant.
Yeah. Yeah, even the duplexes we couldn't grant, even though it's specifically mentioned in the zoning, we couldn't grant it because it's under a special exception. So. All right, next up, informational hearing. I see a pattern here. James Susie, 70 Thatcher Road, Thresher Road, Candia, New Hampshire. Property location, 99 Adams Road, Candia, New Hampshire. Map 410, lot 121.
Come on down, Dan. I brought the big guns.
Counsel. Yeah. I can do this for Jim if you want me to.
Sounds great.
Okay. Jim is looking at Dave Cloutier's lot. Dave passed away. He lives across the street from me last winter. That lot is 200 by 200, so it's 40,000 square feet. So it's a non-conforming lot, but it's an existing lot of record, has been before planning board approval. So Jim's question was, we'd have to tear down Dave's house. Dave's house and garage, I think, are currently non-conforming. The garage is not within a setback. It's right at the edge of the right-of-way. Jim would be demolishing that. Didn't want to go through the process of purchasing or demolishing that house unless he knew he could rebuild. I read to him section 2.03 section E, you know, which to me, I already knew the answer, but he wanted to come in here, you know, use of a non-conforming lot. Basically, he's allowed to build on that lot. It's just when he tears all those buildings down, he has to meet the 25-foot side setbacks, the rear setback, the 50-foot front setback.
Yep.
Has to be able to have
Jason Franklin design a septic system on there and put his well and meet all the setbacks, which is all more than doable on 200 by 200. It has to have a minimum of 60 feet of frontage, which it has 200. So to me, there's no issue here. It's a buildable lot, and he's allowed to get a permit.
Correct.
But we'll let the board speak to that. So that's what Jim wants to hear.
I second Tommy's motion.
it seems fairly
sound.
Cut and dry.
It's right there in the ordinance,
right?
So like if you don't demolish the garage and you keep it there, mm-hmm. and that is really close to the road,
yeah.
But if you keep it there, then you can keep using that,
yeah.
But if you knock it down, you can't rebuild one there. You got to have all the proper setbacks. But
right.
yeah, we can't. You know, I mean, it'd be unfair to say, oh, your lot's not conforming. You can't build a damn thing on it.
Right.
That's seizure of property, basically, right?
Right.
But you still have to comply to all the setbacks.
I was hoping you'd deny him so it wouldn't be my neighbor.
But. He was your neighbor for how long?
Too long. Now we miss him. We'd love to have him back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Take it back up there.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's just a building permit, right? That you don't
yeah.
need to come here for anything.
Now, is that because the road got improved, so that's why you want to go back now or what?
Yeah. So we top coated the road, so now it'll come back. Yeah.
Notice you waited till he left. To talk to
him. No, he waited till I built the gym next to my house.
Yeah, yeah.
Looks like a good place to live now.
Yeah, that's a perfect idea, right?
No, sounds like
a 24-hour
sounds like
the
a
gym.
Great plan, Jim.
Yeah. No, it's good. It's unfortunate. I mean, we certainly miss Dave.
He was
a good neighbor. Tommy and I looked at after him for 30 years.
30 years.
You know?
Yeah.
But in any event, we love the place there. My son bought a lot nearby, and the closer the better.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Just wanted to make sure we could do what we did, and I know I inquired with Amy, and she recommended that we come here, so appreciate
it. Sound like an issue to me.
Yeah. Sounds great. Well, thank you very much.
Yeah.
Appreciate
thank
it.
You.
Right. Yeah, and you didn't need Tommy, because we had told you the exact same thing.
He didn't believe me.
But he is pretty persuasive.
And James, say hi to the kids. They might remember me. Mrs. Lindsay at
course.
School.
Have a cold one.
Yeah, I remember them.
Yeah, or they remember you.
Good.
They have their favorites.
I don't have it yet.
Good
so I made the room for it, and once the tiling's done, then I was going to order it. But it goes down to 35.
Dan Bongino was telling us a funny story. We built one in his new house, and the guy said, what do you want to set at? He said, 40.
Oh,
I said, are you out of your mind?
That's bone crushing. Yeah.
He said, instead of a 40, and he was in it for like 2.27 seconds.
Yeah.
The first time, so he couldn't get out that.
40
is
pretty bad.
He thought he was going to die.
Thank you very much. Have a good
thank
night.
Thank
you.
You
and Tommy too?
Thank you.
Yeah.
Now, those were there on the table. I don't know whose they were.
There's one more Mylar.
Oh, there is. Okay, it's out of Mylar. Okay.
That was a different for something else, though, right?
Yeah, I put that out there for that first informational, so you could see the map and lot of
people. Oh,
okay.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Okay. You too. Thank you.
That one needs to be signed.
Another one to sign afterwards? Okay. All right. Next up on the agenda, approval of minutes for October 2nd meeting. I read it on my tablet. I got nothing.
And I had sent one to you, Amy. What was it that, was it Linda was sat
sitting,
for?
Sitting in for Mark.
Mark.
Not Kevin, so I did make that change.
Yeah. Actually, I did look at it and I remarked that AI does an amazing job doing minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But line 37, 137, I didn't get. Because I think it's kind of a redundancy of the motion to adjourn. Did you see that?
137?
Yeah, it just says B. Brock second, Jay Lindsay.
Oh,
then,
yeah, there's a little extra.
And then below that it says motion to adjourn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think it's just.
Yeah, it's just that line.
It could be stricken, right?
Yeah.
So get rid of 137?
Yeah.
Yep.
And I wasn't sure if what I had shared was included within the meeting. Remember, I said, are we adjourned? Because I wanted to bring up that I was running for New Hampshire state rep. So. I kind of wanted that to be in the meeting.
Yeah, and I think it was. I think it was after.
Well, that's why I said, let's not adjourn yet.
Because
you said, "Are we done?" I said, "I don't think so." But just that's the only thing I remember.
No big thing.
If you wanted free publicity.
Yeah. Well, you just got.
Oh yeah, I'm going to all the boards too. I'm sorry, I can't make BOS next, but
it's going to be in this one, this minute.
Yeah, it's going to be in this minute.
I'm sure that a lot of people will read these.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. I know, three of us will.
Or anybody in the audience. Yeah, anybody in the audience too. Just yeah, no problem. But
which three?
Yeah, you know.
I read them.
I scan them. I'm not good at that. So a motion?
I'll make a motion to accept as corrected.
Second.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Judy?
Yes.
Mark abstain. Tim? Yes. Brian?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Kevin?
Abstain.
Abstain. Linda?
Yes.
All right. It barely passes. Okay, I'm going to put in another piece in the agenda here. I have with me a notarized and sealed, hand engraved application to become a permanent member of the planning board from Linda Carroll.
Oh, goody.
To replace Rudy's open seat. She just says, I would like to petition the planning board to accept my position on the board replacing Rudy Cartier.
And I'll make a motion that we accept that request.
I'll second it.
All right.
It's okay, I didn't spell sincerely right. I haven't written
one question.
Yeah.
I think this is.
Did you need to
remember
that?
If the planning board is to the next election or the end of the term?
It's to the next election.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this is the rotation next election's different.
So you're going to have to get your name on the ballot.
Selectmen are different.
Well, 4 March.
March.
It's usually March in January you got to get your name on.
Okay. Yeah, I think the filing fee is only $400. So, you
know. Oh, that's all. Gee. And it's a paid position, right?
Yeah. It used to be a buck. I think it's free now.
But then you get the sign.
It's free, yeah. Oh. Yeah.
Yeah. It used to be a dollar, but now it's free.
It is. It's free. Yeah, it's free. It's kind of funny. And there's no, you don't have to get a signatures or anything like that.
They couldn't get anybody for a buck, so they had to make it free.
Drop the price.
Yeah,
that's how you got me.
All right, so we have a second and a motion. Motion and a second, I guess I should say. So, Judy.
Yes.
Mark.
Yes.
Tim, yes. Brian.
Yes.
Scott.
Yes.
He's not sure.
Kevin.
Yes.
And you don't get a vote.
I don't get a vote.
Welcome. Abstain.
Thanks.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And now you have to be here every other Wednesday. So it's.
She was anyway.
Yeah. Even in her boot.
If you don't have anything pressing, I got two things.
Go ahead. There's one other thing to talk about. Go ahead. Yeah.
Are you going to be around for the 23rd of October?
Yeah, I don't see why not.
Okay, could you attend the budget committee?
Yeah.
Because right, I had a couple of questions.
Yeah, so Andrea sent it to me.
Did you get that?
Yeah.
Okay, then I don't need to do that.
10:23. What time is that, Dina?
7:00. They meet.
P.M., I hope.
Yeah.
Correct.
All right, that was all on that. And the other thing is, at the next select board meeting, we are going to be discussing doing away with the Zoom. So I'd like to bring that up and see what the planning board's feeling is on that. Right now, it's very difficult for Amy to manage the Zoom, listen to us, take notes, and conduct her part of the meeting. And personally, I'm not in favor of hiring paying somebody just to run the Zoom.
I don't think we got it in our budget to pay anybody to.
We don't, but I mean, I wouldn't even be, because it's not that active.
Except for people like Scott that are remote.
Yeah, but even Scott has mentioned to me that it's not the same.
No, it's not the same.
It's not like being here, because you're really not part of it.
It's not the same, but technically it fills the bill, does it not?
No.
You can vote remote.
I don't believe so.
You can vote, no, you can vote remotely legally, right?
Yeah. But it doesn't fit the bill in my mind.
I will.
The governor said this way back after COVID. get to the meetings in public. No more Zoom.
I think Zoom has its place.
You should be there.
I think Zoom has its place. You know, like I've zoomed in, I think, twice, and it's not the same as being here, but it helps when I'm out of town on business or whatever. And I think we do get some people on it, and I think when we have a large thing where we have to be in a different space, Zoom, we can't have.
We don't have Zoom anywhere.
We don't have Zoom anywhere but here.
Right.
So like Kathleen's on now, and she is pretty much every meeting.
Every meeting, yeah.
And a few others Zoom in occasionally. I disagree with you completely.
That's fine.
I think we should maintain it.
I'm not catering to one or two.
Amy has done an amazing job with minutes when she was actually typing them. And now that they're being done by AI, that should relieve the pressure a bit, does it not?
It doesn't.
But this is not really federally compliant. We have this issue over at the school. You have to have closed captioning for anybody who's impaired. This does not. So that's why we've never gone ahead with anything yet at the school. We're still looking into it. And
why,
if we ever go to Zoom...
Why does our town meeting have to be federally compliant?
Well, you have to make it available to all of your citizens, right? And if you have people who are deaf, right, they have to have that closed captioning so they can read it.
Well, we can enable this for closed captioning.
There's a cost.
Is there a cost?
Oh, yeah.
Of course there is.
And that's why we haven't done it at the school yet.
It served a purpose during COVID because we were kind of almost mandated to do something, but...
But I think this is the Zoom is really a select board decision.
Well, no. I mean, if the planning board chooses to keep it and we don't, I mean, that's certainly within the planning board's authority. They can still Zoom.
Well, I think the town has to keep Zoom in anyway for offices and stuff like that, right? It's not like you would get rid of Zoom altogether.
No, we don't have to.
The town's thinking they're just getting rid of Zoom altogether.
Correct.
It's a subscription.
Right. So then we'd have to come up with the money.
Right.
I
now, what if there
Kevin,
was
20
people on? Would you be able to manage that? I mean, there's been a couple of meetings that there were quite a few people on Zoom, and that was hard maintaining who was raising their hand. Because I was in the
she
audience
can't, because
going,
because she can't
wow.
be on
yeah,
that
right.
and look at the hands that come up.
And I think
it
served its purpose during COVID.
Correct.
It's been a good tool.
I'm a firm believer. If you want to know what's going on, be here.
Be here, yeah.
Can we ask Amy what she thinks?
I just told you what she
thinks. Do you have any? I know, but I'd like to hear it from her, not you.
Come on, Amy.
How do you feel about it?
Speak up.
It was my thought that it should possibly still be available for board members, lawyers, engineers that can't attend in person, but we just don't send out the link on the agenda to the general public so that
why
just because they a lot of people
defeats
don't
the purpose
the rules, they try to chat and it's blowing up the computer while I'm trying to do all my
but that stuff. That's a fair point. We do need to keep Zoom if we vote to not make it to the public, which I am in favor of that, but I think we definitely need to make it available for the board members and for professionals, right? You know, we can't have town engineer sitting here till 10 o'clock at night or whatever, and when he's, you know, at home would be a much better...
I just have a problem with the school. If it's not ADA compliant, then it can be challenged.
Challenged
and
in
then,
way?
Well... Because now not everybody in the town can have that interaction.
I'm surprised it hasn't come to court.
Well, we've only had that one instance where we had to get the interpreters.
Right, and that was a fiasco.
Yeah.
And they didn't even show up.
And then they didn't show up.
Right. So without it being ADA compliant, you can be challenged legally.
And what's the penalty? Like, you can't have it without being ADA? Okay. When the feds come and say you can't have it without ADA, they won't say okay. I just don't understand.
It would come out of our budget also. right? If we were to keep it, it's going to come out of our budget. We don't. We only have $8,500.
So the town does not have a license for it.
Yeah, they do, but the town pays it.
What is
if the select board gets rid of it, then we would have to pay it.
Yeah, something like that.
What's Scott's opinion?
Well, we oftentimes have our professional people on Zoom. Because let's not forget that if they're driving here from, like,
Peterborough.
From Peterborough, you know, like Brian Ruff was doing, we're paying travel both ways. That one trip would pay for a month's worth.
The annual fee.
That's true.
I mean, yeah. That one trip would pay for the annual fee. So, I mean, I don't think Zoom can go away.
Wednesday, next Wednesday, the budget committee has a meeting, and I'm going to run Zoom because frequently, Ryan Young works remotely a lot, and he can Zoom into the meeting. And it boggles my mind that people are fighting to have less communication with the public about a committee in the town that's doing the town's business, not wanting people to know more about it.
It's not that I don't want people to know what's going on. I'm saying if you're that interested, be here. I'm sorry,
Kevin, Zoom.
I totally disagree.
Well,
no,
that's fine.
Not or Zoom.
Yeah.
Be here.
I've used Zoom quite a bit.
Can I comment?
But,
So I personally most certainly benefit from having Zoom as a planning board member because I do travel frequently, particularly in the winter. So it has been a benefit. I think that I would be in favor of keeping it for planning board members and engineers and professionals and that sort of thing. I'm also hearing Amy, what she's saying is if you get too many people, it really does become difficult to manage. I mean, it's not absolute. I don't think it's black or white. You know, of course, we want to have more public involvement. But at the same time, if it's difficult to manage, to Brian's point, people have transport. Everybody's got a car. If they're really interested, they could come to the meeting. So I definitely don't want to lose it as a planning board member.
If anyone ever reads the agenda every week, there's a bold. Please note, the chat feature of Zoom is not monitored. If you would like to speak, you must utilize raise hand. And so people about chat, it's not monitored. So if they complain, it's noted that it's not. And if a hand doesn't get noticed,
oh well,
they can still see and hear, right?
Dean, you were...
Or maybe we just take that function away. In other words, they can just they don't have because it's difficult. If you had a bunch of people and they're putting up their hands on Zoom, that would be very difficult. But perhaps for monitoring the meeting, I don't think it's gonna. I don't think it works well to have the public be able to. Participate in the dialogue of the meeting.
You could
go ahead, Dean.
change the note and say hands raised aren't being, it's for listening only.
Go ahead, Dean. I think you're free now. Go.
I hear exactly what Brian's saying. We're old. But it's 2024. Things are different now. I think it's an awesome tool. To be able to get on there. I like going to meetings. You know, I've used it with state training for the forestry review Zoom before during COVID and stuff. But I just think society has progressed to the point where this is what's happening now. Whether we like it or not, this is the way it is now. And people, you know, when you say, some of the meetings there have been a lot of people on Zoom. Damn it, that's a great thing. That's a great thing. I've seen it for, Scott's thing there. You couldn't get any more faces on that screen. Well, That's because people were interested and they wanted to get on there. The room was also full too.
Right.
So I think it's, I think you'd be crazy to get rid of Zoom. I really think you'd be crazy. Now, people do need to know how to act on it, I guess. I don't know about that, but I think it's what's, I hate it the way it is now, but it's what's happening out there. That's the way it is.
I, you know,
whether we like it or not.
And I mean, I agree. I think these tools are a powerful tool because professionally, that's where I am. That's where I live, right? I mean, I used to travel almost every week to go face-to-face meetings with customers and solve problems and stuff. And now I'm lucky if I travel twice a year for that because it's all done day
but
after
if
day.
If we
after
are going
to
use it as a governmental tool, then it has to be ADA compliant and all that. That's what the big hang-up with the school. We could have done Zoom. But because of that ADA compliant, and we are a town municipality, we are government, you have to be ADA compliant. There's no way around it. It's the law. It's the law.
What's the penalty?
Who gives a shit what the penalty is?
Because if there's
no penalty, it's the law.
Yeah, but the problem is, but the problem is if we get rid of this, we're not getting rid of that problem. Because like we had with the hearing impaired person, we still had to pay for an interpreter. So we're not solving a problem by not having Zoom.
But you can't broadcast it without it.
Does it have a feature where we can have closed captions?
Yes.
You can, but you got to pay for that.
Right.
How much, Mark?
You
got a $10 million budget over there. You don't have enough money for closed caption, for crying out loud?
No.
Stop it.
Come on, Dean. You know that.
Touche. How do you spell touche?
T-O-U-C-H-E.
That ain't a touche.
I think it's like tushy with on it.
Yeah.
If they came to the meetings, they would understand what the budget's for. But we couldn't come up with that because, number one, we'd have to put it in the school as a video system, which was going to cost $36,000. The town voted that down. And then we would have had to pay, I think it was $3,600 a year for the closed captioning.
I can see.
That's what it was. So the town voted it down and said, no, we don't want you to have that in the school.
Go.
I can see both sides of the issue. And we've been doing it for a long time now, and we haven't been, you know, called up to the state house or the federal courts or anything. And I think it's a valuable tool. Personally, I'd like to see it continued, and I hope we don't get thrown in jail.
Ask for forgiveness, not permission.
And I mean, we're such a small town, and to think that we would have to have interpreters and everything, it's like, come on, isn't it more important, like you say, to be able to communicate with the community? So that's kind of where I'm...
I'm not saying again, I'm against it.
I know.
I'm saying I'm going to vote what's the law.
Right, I hear you. I know, it's like
I smell defeat.
What's the board's feelings about what I said about the
nobody cares what
you think. Not interacting with the meeting, because that seems to be kind of the biggest issue with Amy, and quite frankly I think that if somebody, I do agree with Brian that if it's that important to somebody and they want to be able to speak and participate, because I have expressed that it is not the same. And so if they could just monitor it, then they can hear, you know, we're transparent, they can see everything going on. That would be like my preference.
I agree completely with that.
There's other issues too.
And I also wouldn't mind if we could pursue not allowing video, because I mean I really don't need to see some woman sitting there in her bathrobe drinking wine. Which
right,
I have
that's
seen.
Just punked in
there. I'm just saying. I don't need that up there.
Well, if we don't have...
Do you have the ability to turn off people's cameras? You can turn off microphones.
I don't, unfortunately.
Okay.
What were you going to say, Linda?
There you do. You pull the
Well,
plug.
I just wonder, like, I know that a few people have expressed that they had difficulty using the hand, you know, to speak. And if we go that direction, we're not having that, but we're just still having the public meeting broadcast through Zoom without the public input, they're still getting, like what you have said. I feel better about that. And then board members being able to, and then any other support help that we need is also has the capability of asking questions. But
yeah,
the public, not that interaction. Mm-hmm. If they need to come, you read the agenda and you have something that you want to be here and speak.
I don't have a problem with turning off the public ability to, you know, comment or raise their hand, right? Because really, if the question is that important to you, there's no place in town that you can't be here in about 5 minutes.
Right.
Get in your car, drive down here, and
you've done it.
Yeah. come running in red faced and go, I got a question.
Right.
I don't think that went that way.
And that way, we don't have to really be ADA
right.
compliant.
Yeah.
I'm smelling defeat, so go ahead. Take your vote.
Do we need to take a vote?
Yes.
Was there a motion made?
No, go ahead, Kevin.
No, was it?
No, it doesn't have to be a motion. It's not a vote. It's just
okay.
consensus of the board. That's all it is. It's not a motion.
Yeah. Didn't make it. I guess. We didn't vote.
Well, you haven't done a consensus.
But you never made a motion that we stop it.
You don't need a motion. It's just
all right.
consensus.
All those who want to keep Zoom and would like to have it not be interactive but just a feed to residents, raise your hands. So we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. All those opposed? 2.
And my opposal is because it is not ADA compliant.
I understand.
If you're going to, if a government entity is going to transmit something, it needs to be compliant. That's the law.
All right,
we can look into that.
Just so everybody knows, and the public, if anybody is listening, the select board at the next meeting will be discussing.
Okay.
And it wasn't brought up by me. It was brought up by Boyd. I brought it up about 2 years ago.
I'm gonna bring up something too. On the ADU changes that we've been talking about, because I've been getting some pushback from some people that I've been talking to about it.
Really,
the pushback is the second ADU.
Why, they think it's too much?
Yeah. You know, the whole, well, every lot in town could have 3 houses, blah, 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 right? And then what about the water and so on and so forth? You know,
no, but they have to meet all that. I mean, that's all regulated.
I understand. So I'm just putting this out. We don't need to make the decision tonight, but I put this out for thought process, right? You know, do we want to split this in half and make it 2 articles? One, allowing the first ADU to be either attached or detached and by right, and article number umpty squat plus one, second ADUs. Just throw it out
there. I don't know. I think that's going to confuse people too much.
Yeah. I don't know how I feel about it either.
Just leave it the way we presented it.
Yeah, because
I think you have two different warrant articles that I think is going to be too confusing.
At least one could be like neighbors up the road, they have a detached, and it's a barn, a horse barn right now,
mm-hmm.
but it could, in an office where it could be an ADU for them in the future.
So maybe 2 would be clearer, and then the whole thing wouldn't go down.
The whole town could vote and say, okay, we like this, but we don't want that.
Mm-hmm.
Or they may like both.
Right.
I don't know.
At least if they cared enough to vote. We'd know.
Did you draft anything, or just
Tim?
Yeah, go, Mike.
Mike Santa. You confused me at the beginning of the meeting. You were talking about ADUs. I thought I heard you say that the legislation didn't go through completely. It was held over.
It's tabled right now in the Senate.
They didn't act on it.
So why are we worried about the third? The second ADU at this point, when it lies and hasn't passed.
Well, we're
just assuming it's going
to
pass.
Yeah, we're trying to get ahead of it. That's why.
Two things. We're trying to get ahead of it. we have a need, you know, the housing opportunity plan there showed that we have a real dearth of affordable housing options here in town. We have a very low rental properties available. I mean, the last rental units that were actually built as rental units were built in the 80s. So we felt that legislation's coming, and it's a good thing that will answer some of the other needs that we have in town. Might take some of the pressure off of higher density housing and the like. That was the reasoning behind it.
I think it's problematic myself. I think that we're starting to creep from a single family home now to a potential of 3 dwelling units on the property. And what do you do about the parking? If every unit has 2 able-bodied people, they usually have cars. And so you're now at 6 cars on the property. It's going to be, and I'm concerned also that, you know, a 3-family in the building code would require a sprinkler system. So how do we deal with that?
Well, again, even when they are attached, they have to meet the multiple family housing fire code if they are attached.
Say that in the regulation that I read.
Yeah, it does.
Because there's no 2 attached ADUs, so it could only be a 2-family, technically, which doesn't require a sprinkler,
right.
and a detached residence, 850 or smaller, with adequate side lot adjustments and water and sewer. Most people aren't going to be able to afford to do it or have the capability from a infrastructure standpoint, size-wise, to do it. And it has to be owner-occupied,
mm-hmm.
right? So they could have their parents living there and a nephew or the needs of... Yes, I understand no one wants to have wild growth at all. But everybody's not going to go out and build these places because it's expensive. If you're going to drop one of those, you're looking at...
So what's the point?
$200,000 probably, right?
For a detached?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say you're looking at least a couple $100,000.
Right. So it's going to be judiciously used when people can afford to, have the capacity and space to do it, and have a need to do it. Because if you're doing it for a rental unit, take a while to earn that ROI back, right?
Yeah, personally, I think most of the detached are going to be, that we'll see, will be over garages, over
right.
horse farms.
Because
I can't imagine
guest
somebody
house.
Pouring a foundation.
Right.
right. Right, pouring a foundation and building. I mean, I can, but it's going to be
right.
a couple $100,000.
When I have relatives come in or friends come in,
well, you are going to see because
they
I've
have
those
a place to stay,
but
not in my house.
They
don't.
Yeah. They haven't spent
it's not going to be widespread.
In
no.
Right.
Which makes you sleep easier.
But it's more to what we're trying
yeah.
to get.
Whenever
there's
somebody in the house,
now.
You never sleep the same.
Typically, the parents.
So Mike's comments is what I've been getting back as well, which you know is making my point.
I do like the idea of separating them because I think the town's going to look at it. Okay, I can understand this,
mm-hmm.
and if they don't like that part, they're going to say no to the whole thing, or they may say yes for this and no for
this. Way you
and
might get more bang for your buck.
Yeah.
And
I can
make a prediction: they're both going to die.
Entirely possible.
It could be.
Actually, I think if you separate them, I think the second one's dead on arrival. The first one will probably get passed.
I don't know.
But
I think they both might die, but that's just my thought.
But, you know, and I agree with you that it's confusing, and I agree basically with everything that's kind of been said here at the table. So I don't think we don't need to make up our mind tonight because I am a bit afraid because of these conversations just like this that the whole thing might go down in flames because people don't like the second ADU part.
I know the state's trying to, you know, increase dwelling units, so prices will come down, and that's wonderful. But this is not right. They're just doing it the wrong way. I mean, I do consulting, and most of my consulting is with multifamily buildings, and the state is building. Well, they're helping fund multifamily buildings all over the place. If you keep your eyes open, there's tons of them. Concord, Manchester, anywhere they can create multifamily. And it is starting to affect the price of apartments and, you know, rental units.
Positively or negatively?
Positively.
So
going down.
The prices are going down because there's more inventory.
Today I was talking to the owner of 96 units up in Concord who built three different buildings on the property. And some of their units, it's over 55, workforce housing, they're calling it. And some of those units are going to be getting subsidies. The renters are going to get subsidies through the state, or in this case, the Concord Housing Authority. And they'll be, I mean, it's happening. This is starting to help because there's so much energy and people now, developers in particular, that are getting on the bandwagon and saying, hey, let's do some multifamily. And so, but this ADU thing, you know, it started out with in-law. It was an in-law apartment. Mom lived in another room and had a little kitchenette, and it was open to the family, and she'd come, you know. And then it took another life of its own by creating this ADU.
Part of that is because that use case has changed. It's no longer an in-law apartment.
Yeah,
it's flipped. Right? It's for the kids, because the kids nowadays can't afford to buy a house, and you got your son and his wife and their two little kids, and they can't afford, you know, $2,500 a month in rent or whatever.
Or more.
Or more. Right? So that's what we're seeing is it's...
Right. We're seeing the parents moving into the... downsizing into the smaller unit, and the young family moving into the home, so they can have a place to live that's in Candia versus in Manchester Central.
Or also, you know, mom...
That's how it was 100 years ago.
Yeah. You know, or mom and dad are getting old. We're gonna build this. We'll pay to build the thing behind the house. We'll move into the house. Mom and dad will be there. They'll be attached. We can take care of them. It's the paradigm of an ADU from its in-law apartment conception has changed because society has changed and the use of it has changed. And that's why we need to allow for detached, right, Mike? Because a lot of Candia, you can't put an attached ADU on a house because of undulating land without a ridiculous amount of landscaping and the like, right? Or people who have a garage, why shouldn't they be able to, or a detached garage, why shouldn't they be able to?
But that's more expensive to build when you're doing a
it is
detached versus putting an addition on.
But it might be your only option. Or, you know,
well, yeah.
Or you get a garage out of it too, right?
You're spending, a lot of people won't be able to afford to do it.
Yeah. You're spending $200,000 to build the building, but you're getting an apartment up above for your son and daughter, and you now got a two-car garage underneath to park your cars in. So that makes that cost a little more palatable.
Now, is the population in Candia older when they did that survey? So,
yeah, we're an older community.
Older community.
Yeah,
getting old quicker.
With kids that are now adults.
We're the oldest community in Rockingham County.
We are.
Something good in the water.
For the next 10, 15 years.
Yeah.
So, because we've had a few people come in and say that's something that they'd like to do for their mother or, you know, somebody, you know, their son that can't afford a place but would like them to be on their property.
Right. An update of the ADU.
It's getting
ordinance
more and more.
Is important.
Request.
Yeah, is important. Because it's a need for the townspeople.
If they go to assisted living, they're going to be able to pull all that money out of that family.
Mm-hmm.
Or if the kids take care of the parents, they save their generational wealth.
Right.
Well, that's what we're doing.
Yeah.
My son lives with us, and he eventually will take care of us.
Yeah, this is.
I got nothing against that. I mean, it's.
Yeah, we
family should be.
We need to allow for the detached, for sure. We need to make it by right for the first one, for sure. We need to make them a little bit larger because we know what the use case is that everybody's coming in for these housing units is. Just the question is, do we want to split? And what I can do is I can come in the next meeting with.
Proposed. Yeah.
If we wanted to do that, what it might look like, and see what we think. Because I hear both sides. I'm with you, Kev. I think it's confusing, and I'm not sure that people would just go, I don't even know what the hell all this crap is.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Good.
Question, Tim. You obviously were you following the state?
Yeah.
So, are you convinced that the state's going to make this happen sooner than later? So what you're talking about at a town level is really going to be a point because the state's going to overrule it and it's going to be allowed anyway?
Well,
why we're trying to get ahead of it.
Yeah, the situation is that we were starting to talk about this like this time last year about updating our ADU, allowing for detached, thinking about a second, right? And then this law got introduced in Concord and it was working its way through and everybody said it was going to pass. So when we started working on this, we're like, well, let's put an eye toward that bill so that we're, you know, if we do put something new on the books, if the bill comes out, we're ahead of the game. We don't have anything we got to redo again. So that's kind of the genesis of it. Do I think it'll pass? I don't know. It was really highly touted that it was going to pass last year, but things got, you know, the Senate got bogged down at the end.
What was the holdup? Do you know what was the sticking point on it at the state level?
I don't think they just wanted to act on it, Dean. I think that's why they just
Oh, they were rushing it.
Yeah.
They were rushing it.
Do you remember what the number of was on the... Is it a House bill?
It was a House bill.
So it started in the House and it ended up in the Senate. I guess it got through the House.
Got through the House quickly.
You
can look it up, Mike. Yeah. Yeah, you can look it up. I don't have it off the top of my head. I've got it probably at home somewhere. But in writing this up, we kept an eye to that because we're like, if we're going to redo the damned ordinance, let's keep an eye to what probably would be coming out of Concord so that we're not redoing this thing again. Do I think it'll pass? Yeah, I probably do because the pressure in the legislature is to basically get rid of town zoning as much as they can. So I wouldn't be surprised if we don't have a lot of friends up in Concord right now. So I wouldn't be surprised if it goes through or some variation thereof. You know, I mean, there was stuff in the last session that didn't go through that would have just eviscerated us. So.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
I don't know, anybody else got anything else?
Motion to adjourn.
Like the way you
second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All right.